So do you guys have any favorite political cliches?
The only poll that matters is the one on election day.
Good one, good one. Laurel?
I like it when they say, it's a simple bill. It's a straightforward bill.
Also good.
Because it never is.
Yeah, I've got one. Enough is enough.
Oh, like when someone doesn't like a bill or something that's happening or a political opponent, they say, enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
No, no, you need more heart. Think about Samuel L. Jackson and Snakes on a Plane.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these snakes on this plane!
All right, now try it again.
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough! There you go. But you know what I've noticed? It takes a lot for politicians to say enough is enough about their political allies, about their friends.
It almost never happens.
So you mean more like James Gandolfini in the underrated classic The Mexican?
When two people love each other, really love each other, but they just can't get it together, when do you get to that point where enough is enough?
There you go. It's exactly what I'm talking about.
So is enough ever enough for political allies?
This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm Laurel White.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm John K. Wilson. Let's talk about when politicians decide enough is enough and when they don't. All right, guys. Well, I said enough is enough to my long, restful vacation, and I thought I wanted to be right back here with you.
Aw,
we
missed you,
buddy. It's good to have you back.
Our resident politics nerd. I think the nerd quotient for this podcast just went way up.
Hey, stop making fun of me. Enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
I think we'll say that about 90 times during this podcast. That's my goal.
Like when it starts to lose meaning after you say it enough.
Well, it does. It does lose meaning. I mean, you hear, listen to the speeches over the course of the next couple years in the legislature or elsewhere in Congress, in campaigns. It gets thrown around a lot about a lot of things as though it has like, You've reached that tipping point. You wouldn't say these words. You wouldn't say these words, except things have just gotten so bad, enough is enough.
And then nothing usually happens.
But never do you, very rarely do you hear this about political allies. And I mean, for me, why I'm kind of thinking about it now is that there are a number of Democrats predominantly who are saying to mainstream Republicans who are not in the Trump administration, hey, when are you guys going to break ways with the president, with all these investigations going on? When is enough enough for you? And I think that's always a political question. And, the rules don't change just because the circumstances are different.
We did have a little kind of enough is enough action this week from Mike Gallagher.
Yeah,
he kind of said enough is enough in a way, right?
Yeah, Mike Gallagher set the table for this podcast, really, because he kind of flirted with that a little bit. Mike Gallagher, I wouldn't say is in an incredibly competitive congressional district, but it's about as swingy of a district as we have in Wisconsin. And Mike Gallagher saw this coming out with the president this week, sharing intelligence with the Russian ambassador?
And foreign minister.
Yeah, and Mike Gallagher took to Twitter. And so we got a list here. Who does the good Mike Gallagher voice? No, just kidding. What does he say here? While POTUS possesses the authority to disclose classified, even top-secret information, there is a separate question of whether he should. As an intelligence officer by training, I know firsthand the life and death implications of safeguarding classified information. The sooner we abandon this fantasy and work with our allies to oppose the Russian-Iranian axis throughout the Middle East, the better. And he says that he wants a transcript of what was said during that encounter between the president and the Russian leaders. So, on its surface, kind of strong words from a Republican congressman. Seem like.
So it seems like in this case, the point where enough is enough is to have the leader of your party sharing top secret anti-terrorism information with on-again, off-again for an adversary.
Well, and I think the secret ingredient to this situation, too, is that, you know, foreign relations are Mike Gallagher's forte in a way, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he has the military background. He sort of campaigned on his experience and knowledge of international relations. I think he has a PhD.
He wrote his doctoral thesis on like post-Cold War relations or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, he has kind of that area. This is his area of expertise. And so maybe it's a combination of him, you know, genuinely being upset by this and saying, well, this is something that I speak up about because I was elected to be someone who knows about these things.
So maybe you speak up when something is beyond the pale, even if it's, you know, somebody in your own party, but also when it's a chance for you to sort of reinforce your own brand or your own agenda.
I would say that could be the case, because didn't Senator Ron Johnson come out and say that there should be a transcript released as well, at least to his Homeland Security Committee and the Foreign Relations Committee? I mean, so multiple people are calling for transcripts, but Gallagher, you know, called for a transcript and kind of used the strong language about, you know, whether the president should disclose this information and how serious it is, that kind of thing.
So I would, but my question is, in the context of this podcast, is saying we need more information and we shouldn't share information with Russians, is he saying enough is enough? Like, I've had it with you, Mr. President. I'm done here. And I think the answer is a definitive no.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that, you know, these tweets were not that strongly worded.
No, they're really specific to this encounter and this information. In a way for a congressman who, even if he's favored in the 2018 cycle, will likely have an opponent in a competitive race, a way for him to say, look, I'm independent. But, you know, to me, taking that next step and saying, I'm basically done, I'm done with you, I haven't seen him do that yet. I haven't seen many Republicans do that.
What about Paul Ryan? He's from Wisconsin.
Definitely.
We can talk
Paul
about
Ryan
him.
Paul Ryan is definitely not saying enough is enough.
Not even close. Not even a hint.
Yeah. Somebody flat up asked him, like, do you support the president? Do you have faith in the president or something? Like that. He was like, yes, I do.
Yeah. And somebody was saying, I think somebody else asked him, like, do you think Mike Pence would be a better president or something like that? And he's like, I'm not even going to honor that with a response. Paul Ryan is totally.
He is on the Trump train.
Yeah. Any misgivings he had during the campaign, he's not talking about them now.
Well, he's not talking about them. I wonder if privately he still has them, but he sees sort of staying on message as the best way to get that agenda through.
Could be, but the proof's in the pudding, man. To me, enough is enough would be like you just cut ties with somebody's agenda. And I actually, thinking back in my memory, which is where I think back.
Tell us more. How does that work?
Yeah, I have lots of. I can't think of a time when. There are just so very few times when somebody who's basically said, we're done here. You know, I guess people who leave their political parties and become an independent, that's when that happens, which is a very rare situation. That's like enough is enough.
That's true.
Or when you start trashing your own party standard bearer. That's kind of an example. Like when Democrats were kind of ripping on Obama during earlier election, you know, some election cycles during his presidency. That's kind of flirting with enough is enough, you know, like that you don't support your president. Or like this last election cycle, you had some assembly Republican candidates who were ripping on Governor Walker's education budget. You're kind of flirting with it a little bit that you're done, but not really.
I feel like this is such an interesting conversation to have during the Trump presidency, because I'm just thinking back in my thoughts,
I'm thinking back in my thoughts.
In the presidential campaign, there were so many moments where Republicans did say enough is enough about Trump, and then enough actually wasn't enough.
Yeah, like, you're right.
Yeah. Like, they were like, oh, he said those awful things about that judge. Enough is enough.
Yeah. John McCain a coward.
Right. Enough is enough. Never mind.
He bragged about sexually harassing women.
That's the biggest one, I think, where a lot of people were like, okay, enough is enough. And then...
Then again, it happened late in the campaign cycle, so I didn't. Yeah. You didn't hear everybody saying it.
Well, I mean, even Paul Ryan at that point came out and said, like, this is really, really, really troubling.
Yeah.
Well, but he also called the comments about the judge from Indiana, a textbook example of racism.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know. Paul Ryan pretty, like, he had strong language all along.
Yeah.
Back when it looked like somebody might emerge from the field other than Donald Trump. Now, is he the best bet for the Republicans in Congress to do what they want to do?
He is it. They are connected to Donald Trump no matter what. And so they have to, you know, they have to decide, are our fortunes better? Of course, you know, they have stuff they went to Congress that they want to do, and they want to get bills passed. And so if they want to get bills passed and signed into law, like Paul Ryan has wanted to do for a long time, big tax cut, simplification of the tax code. If he wants all that, Donald Trump is his guy. And so you hear him at every turn saying, I support the president. But really, politically speaking, they have a choice to make. Donald Trump is our party standard bearer. We might get some points for being independent if we throw him under the bus. But if we throw him under the bus and, you know,
then
public
he,
opinion.
Then he doesn't sign our tax reform agenda. He doesn't, you know, come to the table for healthcare reform. We look pretty bad if we as a Republican majority can't really seem to govern.
Yeah. And they probably have some memories about 2016 when they thought, we'll do that, you know.
Yeah.
Didn't go so well for him, you know. He had the last laugh. You think we should move on to some other uncomfortable examples of enough is enough?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
Enough about that topic.
Well, there was another big one this week.
Another controversial politician who pretty much says whatever is on his mind. What's his name?
His name is David Clark.
And he is headed to the Trump administration, he says.
Yep.
David
yeah,
Clark.
As of Friday morning when we're recording this podcast, the Department of Homeland Security hasn't in fact confirmed that he's been appointed to be an assistant secretary of Homeland Security.
Which is interesting. And here we are at Friday morning. That is pretty interesting to us, right? Like, why is that not there? But we don't know. It could just be a formality. As far as we know, David Clark says he's going to the Trump administration. This is something been rumored for a while. There have been calls for quite a while by Democrats, I think, predominantly, to put Republicans under pressure to say enough is enough with David Clark. You know, when he says things, when he talks about pitchforks, time for...
Torches and pitchforks,
or, you know, any of the number of things that he's said over the years, or when problems are revealed at the Milwaukee County Jail. During all the years that Sheriff Clark has been in office, and I'd say his rhetoric has become far more fiery in the most, you know, the last few years, really, the last couple years, or even you could say after... After the Trump phenomenon really took off, David Clark kind of took on a new, more outspoken personality. But during all that time, has a Republican ever said, enough is enough, I'm done with Clark, what he has said is beyond the pale, over the line, and I can no longer support him? Has anyone ever said that?
I cannot think of a single person.
And Republican.
Yeah, single Republican. And we should note David Clark is technically a Democrat.
We should note that.
On paper.
But the Republican base loves him.
Right. He spoke at the Republican National Convention. Got one of the biggest applause lines at the RNC, right?
Yeah. And frequent guest on, Fox News, conservative talk radio. Really, really beloved by the base.
But do you think the issue with these deaths at the jail could have been a turning point for Republicans or conservatives in Wisconsin to say, you know, enough might be enough here?
They've already had that opportunity. I mean, the deaths are have been reported. People have been asked for comment.
I think it's easy for them to say, we're going to let due process play out here.
Right.
You know, they don't have, I mean, they Clark wasn't personally charged in that case. I mean, that inquest didn't recommend bringing charges against Sheriff David Clark.
You know, just seven people on his staff.
Right. I mean, he's in charge. But I think for an elected Republican who sees how much their base likes David Clark, even if they don't care for some of the stuff he says, they're probably going to be pretty guarded about breaking ties with somebody like that. You know who did say enough is enough about David Clark, and who has said that about sort of like the whole shebang is Charlie Sykes,
yeah.
Who was, you know, the conservative standard bearer in Wisconsin for so many years. And, you know, Charlie really helped. I believe he called David Clark his Frankenstein monster or something like that, because Charlie helped build up Clark. You know, he definitely supported him over the years. And those guys do not get along anymore. Charlie has said enough is enough with David Clark.
I mean, I wouldn't like it if someone called me their Frankenstein monster, so I sort of get it.
It's not a compliment, generally. It's generally not a compliment. Right.
That would be a good Halloween costume, though, wouldn't it?
Of which I am very proud. I created a living being.
It would be like Gene Wilder in Young Frankenstein. You know, how proud he teaches him to, like, tap dance.
I haven't seen that movie.
You haven't seen Young Frankenstein?
No.
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
It's quite good.
Yeah.
I also haven't seen Snakes on a Plane.
Well, that's a classic.
Neither have I, actually.
But I know I love Samuel L. Jackson yelling, so I probably would like it.
All right. Are there any other examples you can think of enough is enough?
Okay, I got one.
All right.
I have one. Weedick.
The Weedick audit that came out this week. This was very politically charged.
The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation.
Correct.
Which has been the subject of several audits.
Yes.
Maybe several is two.
Three.
Yeah. A few.
Wisconsin's
more than one
flagship
audit.
Jobs agency. And no audit of Weedick has been good. You know, the audit bureau, the nonpartisan legislative audit bureau, which is widely respected in the legislature, has yet to come out and say you're doing a bang-up job when it comes to these audits of Weedick. A couple years ago, the audit was so harsh that the legislature, which created Weedick, I mean, the Republican legislature created Weedick. It was one of its first acts in office. It was one of Governor Walker's first bills when he became governor in 2011. And this was going to be the state's premier economic development agency. So it's kind of their baby. And in 2015, they decided they were going to halt or freeze a state loan program for Weedick because of what was coming up in these audits.
Yeah, they found that they weren't tracking job creation or job retention very well.
So to me, in 2015, it seemed like they had hit that point of enough is enough in a way, where Republicans, even though they had created this was in the governor's administration, that they were kind of done with Weedick, or at least this portion of it, this loan program for Weedick.
I mean, that's pretty powerful to take all their money away.
It is. I mean, it's an unusual step, mm-hmm. definitely. So flash forward to 2017. And
enough isn't enough anymore.
Well, it was, you covered the finance committee a week and a half ago, roughly, when Weedick was, when Weedick came up.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do?
They gave them the money back, basically.
The loan program came back.
The loan program came back. And some Democrats on the budget committee said, hey, let's wait. They knew that the audit that came out this week was coming.
Wait for a week
Hold
and see
on.
What the audit says.
Yeah, let's see what the audit says. And Republicans were like, nah. We'll come back to it if we feel like we need to after the audit comes out. It's on the schedule for today. Let's just do it. So they restored the money.
A week later, this audit comes out and says Weedick is still not following state law in tracking job creation or retention statistics. And in talking to Republican Senator Robert Coles of Green Bay, who co-chairs the legislature's audit committee, he was just noticeably frustrated because you know, his basic point was this agency exists to help us create jobs. Mm-hmm. So if we can't measure whether
the jobs are being created,
like how do we measure success if we don't know that? And he said, I think that the legislature, the Joint Finance Committee, should reconsider this step to reinstate this loan program. So he sounds on like he's on that verge of saying enough is enough when it comes to WEDIC.
Yeah.
The legislature's budget committee is not. You know, they basically said we're going to let the audit committee review this first, the full committee, and you know, but they're not in any hurry to take that money away.
They could anytime, just for the record. I mean, at any point during the budget committee, they can just add it into their agenda for the day and take that up at any point, right? But I mean, it would have to be...
They would have to vote to reopen the papers, mm-hmm. I think. There was a motion to do that by a Democrat this last go-round. They didn't do it. But yeah, they're the legislature. They could add it to the budget at any point before they send it to the governor's desk.
Mm-hmm.
They don't seem likely to do that, though. Even the co-chair, Robert Coles, co-chair of the audit committee, said her quote in the statement that came out that day was something along the lines of job creation is just one measure of economic development. So sounded okay. You know, I thought Samantha Kirkman's quote made it sound like she was less troubled by what was in that audit.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what you're saying is that if people are in your party, on your team in politics, then I'll let James Gandolfini take it from here.
Anyway, it's a loaded question. Look, when two people love each other, totally, truthfully, all the way love each other, mm-hmm. when do you get to that point where enough is enough? Never. Never.
It's love,
so,
man.
It's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful sentiment.
It is. I miss James Gandolfini.
I know.
He is a great guy. Yeah. And so partisan politics will live on and members of their parties will hold hands and walk into the sunset together and never say enough is enough.
Enough?
Have we had enough of this podcast? Enough?
Is enough? We just all like looked at each other for a second.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is back, and he is our resident politics nerd.
If you just can't get enough of the WPR Politics podcast, you can subscribe for new episodes on iTunes. You can also rate and review the show there. You can find it on Google Play and a bunch of other pod-catching apps. And of course, you can find every episode we've ever done up till now at wpr.org/politics.